I should mention that in the background, we're hearing my infant who you delivered in my home, who is of course home with me now during this. So what are the most common misconceptions that you are answering for people?
One, people, when they were just calling, reacting out of fear, suddenly their plan seemed really bad to them and they wanted another option. They were calling and had no idea that one, it involved prenatal care or meeting the midwife or having any responsibility for getting some supplies ready. Things that over the course of prenatal care, like you and I had, just fall into place and is really not that big a deal. But when somebody's calling and they were 39 weeks and could go into labor tonight to suddenly be starting up an idea for a planned home birth, it's not the same as suddenly saying, oh, I live in Troy. Instead of going to Burdett to have my baby, I think I'll go to Albany Med. You know, with that plan, all you need to know is a different address. With planning home birth, there's other responsibilities.
Are you experiencing any uptick in women who are not imminently about to go into labor reaching out to you and interested in home birth?
So the huge upswing in phone calls has settled down. And now I have I'd say compared to 2 or 3 years ago, a few more people are interested in home birth than were a couple years ago. A month ago, suddenly it seemed like everybody and their aunt was interested in home birth.
Why do you think that has come down?
One, anytime there's change, people tend to react with kind of a knee-jerk reaction. And so I think home birth was a knee-jerk reaction for some people. Some people were quite shocked to find out that they couldn't get their epidural at home. So then they're like, oh, well, maybe the hospital is a good idea. Another thing is, and this is big, is that the restrictions on who can support somebody in labor have opened up somewhat. So in New York City, the restrictions for a short period of time were that the women had nobody outside of hospital employees to support them. And that's opened up to everyone's to have at least one support person. In the Capital District, it's one person and that person's supposed to be with them from admission to discharge. Imagine if you had three kids at home and your partner was supposed to then decide whether he or she's staying home with the kids or coming to the hospital with you.
Are there special precautions that you're taking at this time?
With birth, there's an exposure, obviously, to blood and body fluids. Actually, when I started college was before HIV was a thing. So the term universal precautions didn't exist. Since I've been practicing birth, it's always been precautions about blood and body fluids. COVID's a whole different monster. And so the idea that my breathing on a woman as I'm holding her in labor or her breathing on me could give either one of us a deadly disease is a lot to wrap your mind around. My routines with how I deal with birth and prenatal care have been evolving. How it's looking now is that any visits that can be done remotely are done remotely like this interview is being done. And it's amazing how much you can get done on a remote visit. I can see how comfortably she's breathing. I can monitor her respirations. I can see the color of her skin tones. I can see how well hydrated. So the Zoom business isn't as bad as I thought it would be. Social distancing when a client is here is intriguing. Even with a mask, there's some amount of virus that if I had it or if the client had it, that could be transferred from one to another. For birth, once we're into the part of birth where it's hot and heavy, either the woman has changed her breathing or she's beginning to push. I'm donning, you know, the big kind of respirator mask. Looks like a giant insect. It's got the little pods on either side of the face because it's reusable and my voice comes through much better with that than just the disposable N95 mask. The gear that I bring into a house, I'm putting down on a cloth sheet that I bring. This virus doesn't appear to like fabric very well. It doesn't stick to it well, and it doesn't stay on fabric long. And it also helps keep in mind that we need to be cognizant of where things are.
Is there anything that's been particularly surprising to you so far?
Yeah, that some people don't believe it at all. I have some clients that are social distancing because they are, but they really, really, really do not believe that this virus is anything except a hoax.
Because I feel like my experience in working with you is that you're extremely tolerant, have a way of giving people room to have their opinions, but providing medical guidance.
Yeah, so that is something in my head of like, at what point would I say no, just like I might risk somebody out of a home birth because she's had 3 previous C-sections. I'm not willing to participate in that level medically. There may well be times coming up where I have to say no because somebody is not willing to honor my boundaries with a mask or hand washing. And I'm not thrilled with all these things. I'm not happy with it. But on the other hand, I live with a 73-year-old man that I adore. The other thing that's been really intriguing to me is the number of clients that have anxiety issues and mental health issues that are actually doing way better now. So I think there's something going on with the slowing down that most of us are having to do that is also very helpful.
Is that mostly women who are currently pregnant or people who are also just seeing you for general wellness care?
General wellness and postpartum and pregnant people, all the above. And the postpartum particularly interests me because I was expecting it to be way worse because anxiety is often worse in postpartum. And then to be having a new baby during a pandemic is a lot. To also then not be able to have family members supporting you in the way that you were expecting is a whole lot. So I was really expecting the anxiety was going to be through the roof, and it's actually been somewhat blunted.
Is there anything that you think that women who are considering a home birth should know?
I think that pandemic or not, if you're considering a home birth, you need to really consider what your comfort level is with being outside of the norm. Because even if you love the idea of giving birth to your baby in your bedroom with just a midwife and assistant and your partner there, home birth is, in the United States, about 1% of the population. There's certain enclaves where it's, you know, between 1 and 10, but there's not really places where it's a lot more than that. And for some people, that then really creates some discomfort in themselves. How comfortable do you feel with your midwife? Because if we're in a situation where the midwife is saying, we need to go to the hospital, are you comfortable enough with her decision-making? Because there will be a more intimate relationship than there would be if you were planning a hospital birth.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you think listeners should know?
Home birth is very doable for most people. And it doesn't mean somebody has to be, I'm doing air quotes, in perfect health, but a generally healthy woman with a generally healthy pregnancy, home birth is probably a possibility for if she desires it and if she has a provider in her area. I guess another thing I'd want people to know is that there might be financial differences from going to the hospital, and that could be in either direction. Some people have a very high deductible plan. So home birth, even if their midwife is out of network, actually might be much more affordable for them financially than a planned hospital birth. But on the other hand, it's entirely likely that the midwife might not be in network. So there might be cash payments or deposits up front. One thing that I've found that people often are surprised with, especially if they've previously had babies at the hospital, they're quite surprised at the amount of support they get postpartum because they're used to the model where they see the provider for prenatal care, the provider or one of their partners shows up for the birth, and then they don't see him again until 6 weeks. Whereas the home birth practices around here, we all plan on being there for prenatal care, being there for birth, being there probably 3 times in the first week postpartum at somebody's home, checking on the mom, checking on the baby, doing various tests, checking to see how breastfeeding is going, seeing somebody back in the office, usually at 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. So that's a lot more postpartum support for both mom and baby than the majority of people in the United States get. And our outcomes show that.
Do you expect there to be any long-term changes in what you do, how you do it?
Yeah, I do. I expect that on the state level, apparently is going to be changing soon is that we'll finally be able to get more birth centers in New York State. Right now in New York State, there's either two or three birth centers in the entire state. That's it. Yes, here in Troy, Burdette Birth Center is called Burdette Birth Center. It is a hospital labor and delivery unit. It is not a freestanding birth center, which is what the term birth center generally means. And so the governor's office put together a committee that is looking into the possibility of getting birth centers set up. Why should a baby be born in the same place where there's an ICU with COVID patients? Now, babies aren't particularly likely to get COVID, but when they do, it's really serious. If that woman isn't interested in an epidural, doesn't need a C-section, has very little risk of needing all that stuff, she could be in a completely different facility with a completely different air supply